18. Only as a hero. The Sigilite sits upon the throne. He does not and will not speak. His eyes are open but sightless, or rather they see nothing of the chamber that others call the throne room. They see only the immeasurable deeps of the Empyrean. He sits still, upright, his hands resting, just as his lords did, on the arms of the throne. His staff lies at his feet. A dazzling swathe of radiance, like ball lightning, encases him and the throne, boiling and flickering. The glare of it drives all shadows backwards from the great dais, stretching them out, long and narrow, across the chamber, the shadow of a father and those of the sons at his side, long, radiating lines of darkness in the blinding light, like the shadows of humans on a ridge, watching the sunrise at solstice. Vulcan, standing beside his towering father, his two brothers, and the captain general, finds it hard to watch. Malkador is making no voluntary movement, but he is trembling, every part of him, every bone, every atom. Vulcan gazes at him in the heart of the fire and sees the jitter, like a picked feed stuck and jumping, wobbling, vibrating, the REM twitch of the regent's open eyes, the shiver of his jaw, the flutter of his robes, the minute and cycling quiver of his hands on the armrests. But the Promethean lord can also sense the masterful and assured operation of Malkador's guidance at work, the strong mind, the purpose, and the absolute concentration. Vulcan can hear the mechanisms of the throne responding to the Sigilite's every subtle adjustment. He can feel the immaterial flood obeying his directives and commands.
I can feel his focus and his pain, Vulcan murmurs. I can feel his cells dying one by one, he thinks. And his sadness, says Dorn quietly.
It's not his sadness, brother, says Sanguinius. He glances at their father, silent at their side. It's yours, isn't it? The master of mankind makes no reply. Is he overwhelmed with love for his old friend, with speechless admiration at the scale of the regent's sacrifice? He is only human, after all, and the sensation is coming from somewhere. Valdor turns away, grim. Another last survival of the long yesterday has passed from the world, leaving precious few remaining.
We must begin, he says.
Vulcan shakes his head wearily. His resolve is granite hard, for he understands more than any of them what this signifies.
The Sigilite,
he begins. The hero. A voice corrects him gently. Vulcan looks at his father, eyes narrowing at the radiance of his aspect. He nods. Down the scope of the nave, a few others have dared approach, pushing past the halted armory train. They have come to stop a few hundred meters away, men and women in green robes, perhaps a dozen of them. They stare at the throne. Vulcan sees their grief and shock. A couple of them have sunk to their knees. They are known to him. The chosen of Malkador. The individuals of special ability and particular aptitude that the Sigilite hand-picked down the years to serve as his aides and proxies. Through them, the regent has conducted his inscrutable business. Only these 12 or so have made it here in time, and even they are too late. Others are still on their way, pulled by the psychic bond they shared with the Sigilite. There has been no opportunity for a farewell in person, no last fond words or whispered wisdoms. Required by circumstance to put his affairs in order without ceremony, Malkador has brusquely decanted his thoughts into all of them, distributed piecemeal and without finesse. Their minds ache with the burdens they have been handed so suddenly, and which they have barely begun to process, making this loss even harder to bear. There is a change in the air suddenly, a winnowing aura of calm that moves like a summer breeze from the master of mankind down the great length of the nave towards the chosen. Everyone in the room feels its soothing aspect. He is alleviating the worst of their immediate suffering, for they will all need to be sharp and capable from this moment on. They must complete the tasks the regent has left to them. They are the executors of his legacy. They contain the Sigilite's last testament.
"The greatest sacrifice of our age," the voice tells them softly. "Our Sigilite is no more. Regard him now as you fulfill his bequests, only as a hero. Your duties are not finished, and neither is his. What we do now, all of us, we do because he has made it possible. Remember him. Remember that. Use that memory to prevent even a moment's falter."
They nod. Some weep. They all bow. Hiding his own grief, the King of Ages, risen, turns to his sons and the Captain General.
"Now we begin in earnest," he says.